Here's a story about another Scotsman influenced by American culture. For 2 years, Gavin Bain posed as an American rapper, and he managed to get a major label record deal out of it. In 1999, he saw an ad for an open audition with a well-known UK record label called Polydor, and it asked, "Are you the next Eminem?" Now, Bain and his friend Billy Boyd thought they were, so they hopped on a bus to prove it. And the story of what happened next is told by Gavin Bain in his new memoir. It's called California Schemin'.
When we arrived, you know, it's a 13-hour bus journey down to London from Dundee, so we were pretty tired, and we just went straight to the audition, and there was a queue right up the street, you know.
Like, wow.
There was, I don't know, 10, 15 blocks. It was just mammoth, absolutely mammoth. We kind of just joined the back, and we battle-rapped our way, skipping the queue right to the front. Eventually, we come across the, I guess you can call them judges, right?
Right.
In this day and age.
You start rapping for them.
Yeah, just started doing one of our songs, and they were just kind of laughing. they just started laughing. Within about 30 seconds, it was like someone laced the room with nitrous oxide. They were just like, nah, that's not going to work. You sound like the Rapping Proclaimers.
Like the Rapping Proclaimers.
Yeah.
The Scottish band, of course, the Proclaimers,
yeah.
Best known for 500 miles.
I will walk 500
right.
miles, yeah.
Right.
So we were not walking. We were taking a bus a few hundred miles back up to Dundee.
So you guys go back to Dundee. You're crestfallen. And then you guys come up with a plan to actually make it as American rappers. First of all, why did you decide to do that?
We didn't really make the plan until I saw The Secret of My Success. You know that old classic 80s
movie? Oh, yeah, with Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And you know his character, Carlton, you know, gets into this company, and he basically cons his way that he's an executive, all that he wants to get to the top. And then at the end, it all comes clean, and it's a happy ending. And I just think, why don't we do that? We can throw on American accents, you know, and we were really into acting and playing parts, so we could play characters. And then get in the door, and as soon as if we got a record deal and if we got a record out, then we can come out clean on like a TV show and say, look, we were never American and this is our story. For us, that would explain everything, that would inspire young Scottish artists and artists all over the world to, you know, keep going if they were ever turned down. I like to take you right back to my school days. Used to fall asleep in class with some dude with time and shoelace.
From there I went to college, yeah, dropped out. You know, we used to give a damn, but I forgot how. So you guys came up with this elaborate backstory. What was it?
We didn't really know much about American
You'd never been to America, right?
No, I'd never ever been. Billy had cousins in Hemet, California. So the backstory basically was we were raised in Hemet. We were, you know, badasses at school. We always got kicked out of school. Our dad worked in insurance. We, you know, we started saying that actually at a certain age we moved to Huntington Beach. we were battle rapping at the Vans Warped Tour in 96. We were at Scribble Jam in 97. And, you know, these events happened.
And they happened, you know, in the U.S., obviously.
Yeah, in the U.S. So we were just kind of saying we were at them, and that's where we got noticed doing this. And eventually that we just came on tour, and when we got to the U.K., we ran out of cash, and so now we're trying to make it over here.
If I was interviewing Brains McLeod right now, and I didn't know that you were an American, what would you sound like?
Look, guy, I'm not liking this interview. Why don't you put your boss on? I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm getting tired of this. I'm in control here. You're not. Put your boss on the phone.
So that's basically what you started to do. You started to speak that
yeah.
way. So you started to work on the scheme. It took you about 2 years to get it down. How did you end up getting an audition with a major label in London?
The first weekend that we were in London, we blagged our way onto a show. We called up a promoter and said, look, you've got to give us this show. American accent, of course, now. And we just said, look, if we're on this bill, then it's going to be an amazing show. You need to have us on that bill. And we convinced the guy to put us on one of the headline slots. This was the kind of moment, you know, of deciding, this is it. We're going to stay in character. And as soon as we went on stage that night, the performance never stopped. Straight afterwards, there's a guy there from Island Records, and he comes up and he says those words, where are you guys from? And we were just like, oh Christ, there's no turning back now. So we went through our backstory. Yeah, we're from Hemet, California. Dad works in insurance. Mom, you know, neighborhood watch and works with the church. We got kicked out of school. And then tell the backstory. And then straight after that, it's like, okay, cool. Well, come to my office tomorrow morning and we'll talk and we'll go from there.
So you ended up signing with Sony UK.
Sony UK, yeah.
You signed a deal with them as American rappers.
As American rappers.
A deal worth about $350,000.
Yeah, if you do the conversion, yeah. I mean, in the end, I mean, when you add the amount of endorsements on top of everything, you know, tour support, record support, we eventually recorded 3 albums worth of music.
I'm speaking with Scottish musician Gavin Bain. He's the author of California Schemin', the story of how for 2 years he pretended to be an American rapper. Gavin Bain, when did it all start to crumble? I mean, this lasted for 2 years.
We never knew it was going to last that long. We just got carried away. There was so much money involved. The plan was originally to come out, but then as soon as we wanted to release the record, we realized that if the record came out and there was anything different that compromised the sales of the record, we stood to be sued.
In other words, your contract said that if you guys misrepresented yourself, you would be held liable.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Eventually, the lies we were caught up in just kept, you know, I don't know how much more we could have taken, but it was more down to the personal relationships that Bill and I had, that we were best friends, and now we were at each other's throats every night. The drinking and the drugs and everything had just gone so far, and we blamed each other for it. And eventually, we couldn't come out of character. At first, we had to stop talking to our parents and our friends back home because it was hard to stay in character. But at this point, we were so in character, so in love with these characters, we couldn't get out of the character. It was complete insanity.
He decided that he wanted none of this anymore. He wanted to get out of this and left.
Yeah, we had a pretty bad fight when he told me that he was going to go back and marry his girlfriend up in Scotland. And I just thought, you know, I hate giving in. I couldn't quit. So we had a massive fight. And to be honest, we nearly killed each other. Once you have a fight like that, there's just no real way of coming back. So I guess, you know, when I went to the store the next day to get some breakfast, to make some breakfast and kind of apologize, and when I came back, he was gone.
You continued to sort of live on as Brains McLeod for about 2 more years, right?
Yeah, in total it was 5 years that I was in character of Brains McLeod, and for me, I still thought this American character I was playing was more beneficial to be him than me. That's how little I thought of myself and how much I thought of this Brains character. It was me playing my greatest hero. And why would I want to end him, you know? But not realizing that he'd caused all these problems. It was him, you know, and actually the good stuff was actually just me. It was me playing it, you know?
Are you still in contact with Billy Boyd?
We've tried to kind of put our friendship back together, and that's kind of where it's at now. We haven't gone any further than that. we're talking on Facebook.
Did people react badly when you eventually confessed? Did they think you betrayed them?
Some did. Some didn't understand it. Some thought it was incredible. Some laughed, some slapped me. It was really mixed, but I have regrets about certain things. I mean, anyone who doesn't have regrets probably is a bit naive and doesn't really, you know, realize what they've done. But I know that the message of what I was trying to do was good. And everything I'm doing now is good. And the book and the movie and everything that I'm doing, the music, it's all to convey one message. And that message is, just be sure of yourself. Never give up. That was what it was supposed to prove.
That's Gavin Bain. For nearly 5 years, he pretended to be an American rapper under the pseudonym Brains McLeod. His book about the experience is called California Schemin'. Gavin Bain, thanks so much.
No, it's been my pleasure.
And Gavin Bain is still making music without the fake accent. His new band is called Hopeless Heroic. This is a confessional song. It's called The Getaway. And for Sunday, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.